Dear friends, we all like to pay attention to the best in sport, the best in business, in science, and in our society. Now imagine you would like to learn how to play tennis. And Serena Williams would show up and says, I'm giving you a little coaching lessons. Or you would like to learn how to play golf. And all of a sudden, Phil Mickelson is around, or Tiger Woods, and would coach you. Or you would like to learn how to invest well, your income. And Warren Buffett would be your consultant. He would teach you about giving too. Or you would like to make a difference in society, and Martin Luther King Jr. would be your advisor, how to work towards social justice in a divided country and world. Today, we all can learn from the best prayer coach ever. Our prayer partner is Jesus himself, who helps us to make prayer to an intimate conversation between God and us, and helps us to see now a new reality, something totally new. That's what prayer does. It opens up our eyes to see something new. First, prayer is not a magical tool to get what we want, to get more time or more happiness or more money or more this or that. Before we realize what prayer is and how we practice prayer in our daily lives, we need to talk about the challenges we are all facing with our perception of reality. We live in a world where people tend to think that seeing what I see, that's reality. Show me something, I start believing. Whatever we see is real, we think. Now I'm giving you an example. Now, you would assume with me for a moment that if you were watching people walking in a circle and passing a basketball, okay, with each other, just circle, passing a basketball, and you would notice if all of a sudden a guy in a black gorilla suit randomly walks through the scene, waving his arms and jumping up and down. Now, everyone would take notice of this gorilla and of this intruder, you would think. A large majority would pay attention to this intruder, you think, who's right face to face. But the reality is that 50%, half of the people who play the ball, don't even notice there is an intruder. Okay, here's what's happening. The group of people are wearing a black t-shirt, and the other group, part of the group, wears white t-shirt. And their job is to count how often the white people in the white shirt are touching the ball. So that is the task. How often in the white with the white shirt touch the ball? Everybody's focused, counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And all of a sudden, a gorilla is walking through. Half of the people in the game did not see the gorilla when asked if they noticed something unusual. Most assume there was no such thing, that those who say they saw a gorilla, actually they think they were lying or crazy. No gorilla. What are you talking? We were counting how often the people caught the ball with the white shirts. Now the scientific project leader, Daniel Simmons, a research professor at the University of Illinois in psychology, concludes that perception of reality is contingent on our mode of attention. What we are prepared to focus on determines what we see. We see what we want to see, and we miss seeing obvious realities when our attention is focused on something else. The scientists describe our situation as an observation blindness. Observation blindness. We all have that. In my last sermon I shared with you, I talked about God's sightings. And some nodded and says, yeah, I had God's sightings in my life. I was able to see some. And others, what are you talking about? It's really hard to figure this out. You're busy, you see things, the reality in front. Where is God there? Well, observation blindness. So the scientist actually says we are all living in an imminent frame that we built. Like a frame in our life, what we see is real. And we don't realize that God is actually in the background of this frame. He's right there. Our attention and our focus often are the things we are paying attention, like our bank accounts, our Twitter followers, product promotions, or our worries. That's what we are focusing. But in reality, God is still there in our frame. We have a hard time seeing God. Like in our research project, God is like the obvious gorilla we are not seeing. Guess what? What's true today, we don't see it, was true at Jesus' time. Do you think everyone noticed who Jesus was? Jesus was face to face in front of them. He was healing. He was saying powerful words. He did prayers. People thought, well, he's another rabbi saying very good things. But is Jesus the Son of God coming into this world to change this world, to teach us something totally different about love, acceptance, forgive? No, they didn't see it. The disciples didn't get it till the last moment, till Jesus actually was risen. Then slowly they figured it out. Well, he was always with us. Now we are seeing it. Now Jesus realized something that will help us to open our eyes to see that God is right there is prayer. So early on, he taught them how powerful, how opening is prayer for us, for our souls, for everything. So he taught by example. Whenever he did something in his ministry, he prayed. So they gave him bread. They gave him a few fish. Well, he didn't just broke it and says, give it to the people. He prayed. He lifted it up to God. They all noticed he's praying to God. When he was traveling with the Emmaus disciples towards the town of Emmaus, they're figuring out who was this Jesus, what happened with the resurrection. When they broke bread, when they prayed, they realized who Jesus was. When Jesus saw somebody suffering and having tremendous pain or couldn't see or were obsessed with the bad spirits, Jesus prayed over the person. He lifted them up to God. And then what happened? They got better. Well, when Jesus walked into a funeral and a young person died, he said, Talita Kumi. He lifted that person up in prayer, and the child came back to life. His friend Lazarus in a tomb, he prayed, thank God. And then he says, bring him out, take off the linen. Prayer is powerful. And now, finally, the disciple says, okay, we got it. Jesus, teach us. Teach us this prayer. It's not magic. It's powerful. It's life-changing. We're going to see something we didn't see before. So Jesus started saying, Our Father. Now, for us, in 2,000 years, saying Our Father, well, that's how we pray. At that time, you don't say Our Father. Or actually, the word in Hebrew or in Aramaic Jesus used was Daddy. He said Daddy to God. Very personal. At the time, people addressed God with Adonai or Yahweh, a make-up word, so that they couldn't say the word God because God was so powerful. And now Jesus says Father, very personal. And then he teaches them about that God is the one who gives you the daily bread, everything you need for your daily life. God takes care for you. You can ask for that. And then probably the most powerful part in the prayer, and God forgives you your sin. God brings you back together. God wants you to forgive others. In our men's group on Saturday, we discussed how often we live our lives looking in the rear mirror. The car, you know, rear mirror. You look always in the rear mirror. What happened in the back? What happened behind us? And this is just how we live our lives. If something bad happens, if we had a hard time, we look in the rear mirror. Oh, yeah, we're not good. We are struggling. But Jesus is teaching us, look through the front shield. Look up front. This is where the Lord is. The Lord forgave you already the past. Powerful stuff. And right there, we have God telling us, I'm right there. You will see when you pray that I'm a part of your life. Jesus' model prayer is about ministry. God's ministry, whenever Jesus did something, it was about making God visible, helping us to see God. Our ministry here at church needs to be a ministry of prayer. When we pray, we connect our help to God. It's not about us. When we pray that God is a part of our lives, we see that God is really there. For me, a spiritual moment was when last Saturday our youth group went to North Carolina. We were meeting in the front yard, the church around the tree, parking lot, and we all stood together and we had prayer. We received the cross and we asked that God would protect the group, that God would give them many God sightings where they see God is real in their lives and will protect them and bring them safe back. Yesterday at 4 o'clock, they all came back safe. One person said, "It was the best trip ever in my life I did." My son last night when we got home couldn't stop talking. He usually doesn't talk a lot, but he described in detail how powerful, how moving this trip was. So as we sent the group off last week on Saturday, they went east. Melanie and the other three boys, we went north to Door County. I was asked by a family to preside at a baptism. So we were driving north, they were driving east. As we were driving around 11 o'clock, the cell phone in the car went off really loud with a screaming noise. I mean, I got scared driving. Then I looked at the phone and says, "Well, there's a storm coming in." And I saw the clouds are coming in and the sun, you couldn't see anymore. It got more darker. And so I said, "Well, maybe it's behind us." And so I kept going, watching. 5 minutes later, the phone didn't even get off. Now the phone, through the Bluetooth, starts yelling at us by saying, "Seek shelter now. Seek shelter now." Well, she looked at the phone and we realized it was a tornado that was coming towards us. So I pulled off. We went into a gas station. And as we went into the gas station, the clerk said, "Go away from the window. Hunker down in the back of the store." So we did. Little Yannick said, "Daddy, are we going to die now?" And I said, "I hope not. So I think we're going to be okay." So I said, "We're going to be okay." I think I didn't say hope not. So, but that's what I thought. But I said to him, "We're going to be okay." I noticed this was all of a sudden we became a community there in the ferocious wind. You couldn't see the pump anymore outside. And we listened to a speaker over the radio telling us where the tornado is hitting. And it was a few miles away, hit ground. And we prayed. I prayed. I said, "God, help us to make it through this storm. We have a baptism to do, so we want to get up there, Noah." So we made it. And we thank God after the storm passed, 45 minutes or so, and we got up north and we had a beautiful baptism and the weather got better and it was very moving. I'm reminded by a word that Brother Lawrence, a writer and spiritual person of the 17th century, wrote about prayer and God's presence. He says, "The holiest, most ordinary and most necessary practice of the spiritual life is that of the presence of God. It is to take the delight in and become accustomed to his divine company, speaking humbly and conversingly, lovingly with him at all times, in every moment, without rule or measure, especially in times of temptation, suffering, aridity, weariness, even infidelity and sin." Powerful words. God is there all the times in our lives. Now Jesus ends his prayers with, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" When Jesus prayed, he connected his prayer with this beautiful parable. In this parable, it becomes very clear that actually God is the one who gives us what we ask. So if we ask for a fish, we're not going to get a snake. If we ask for an egg, we're not getting a scorpion. When we pray, we ask the Holy Spirit to give us the right words to say. The Holy Spirit is the one who's teaching us, who is helping us to find the words when we are struggling what to say in this moment. So I have some prayer tips for you that might help you when you practice throughout the day praying Invite the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say, as I said. Take time and focus your prayer on God like Jesus prayed. Father, Abba, Daddy, focus your prayer on this God when you open your prayer. Share, start out, even that you want to say, God, help me or do this, start out with gratitude. Just say, God, I thank you that I have a family. Thank you that I have faith. Thank you that I have food. Whatever it is, lift up your gratitude first. And then you share your feelings with God. Your feelings that you have, and there might be feelings of that you feel overwhelmed about your future, that you feel what's going to happen next, or your feelings about struggle you're going through, some of your health struggles. Or you think about people in your life that God brings in your life who are hospitalized or are going through a tremendous crisis, and you lift them up in prayer. So invite the Holy Spirit, speak to God as Father, as Jesus, as the Holy Spirit. Share your gratitude and share your feelings with God. As a startup prayer, I have a that can help you if you have a few moments and want to start praying. I want to share with you that prayer that I pray pretty much every day as a gets me into the prayer time. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Repeat this prayer several times. When you say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, you might inhale, take a deep breath in, hold it in for a moment, and then you say, have mercy on me, and you exhale. That exercise will help you to focus on God, will help you to connect with God. So let's practice. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, breathe in. Have mercy on me. Breathe out. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like you prayed. Help us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Help us that we become aware of our blindness that we all have. Take away this blindness so that we can see you in our daily lives. In every moment of our lives, you are present. Help all of us to make prayer a daily routine so that our life perception changes and we become all spirit-filled people who share our gifts and talents in God's ministry so that other people will find a connection with you, God, too. And we are so thankful that you brought the youth back safe and had an amazing time. We cannot wait when they will share their stories on August 17th and 18th here at church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.